Good morning, brothers and sisters. All this past week, I've been praying and meditating on the readings for this Sunday, and I had a particular sermon I wanted to give based on prayer, focus on the nature of prayer. But yesterday morning, as I was saying my morning prayers, the Lord was like, nope, you're not going to preach on any of that. You're going to preach on the priesthood. So here we go. Last week, I did speak to you about the priesthood of the faithful that we all receive through the sacrament of baptism. We share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And the nature of our priesthood is offering the sacrifice of our bodies, just as Jesus offered the sacrifice of his body for sin. But to understand the priesthood fully, it's necessary to also talk about the ordained priesthood, what we call the holy priesthood. That's what I am. So yes, I am a member of the priesthood of the faithful because I'm baptized like every one of you, but I have also received a secondary sacrament that enables me to be a priest on a higher level. It's the same priesthood, it's just more perfect or higher. And to understand this, all we have to do is look to our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It tells us that every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So when a man is chosen to be a priest among the baptized faithful, Hebrews tells us that he is chosen by God to be made a representative on behalf of the people, to stand between the people of God and their God and offer sacrifices for sin. That's his job, that's his responsibility. And so that's ultimately why I was made a priest, to serve as an intermediary between you and the Lord. One of the great Christian heresies is the idea that I can just go to God on my own. I don't need some priest. I don't need some man or somebody else to be an intermediary for me. I can get to God on my own. I can just turn my mind and heart to God in prayer, and God hears me. That's good enough, right? Most of us assume that, but again, that's a heresy. That is not true. If you had the ability to go to God on your own, then Jesus Christ would not have needed to come in the flesh and be your intermediary. The scriptures teach us that our Lord is the one who prays on our behalf, who offers the sacrifice on our behalf as a man chosen by God to reconcile us with the Father. You cannot communicate with the Father except through Christ. It is not possible. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. In like manner, that truth is still maintained in the present day. If Jesus coming in the flesh 2,000 years ago was the only way that we could be saved and communicate with God the Father in holiness, it's still true to this day. So people assume, oh, then I just have to go through Jesus, right? All I have to do is go through the Lord and I'm fine. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, I just got to talk to him, don't I? Well, where is he? I mean, do you call him up on the phone? Do you write him a letter? Is he walking around on this earth any longer? How are you going to talk to Jesus? Consider Bartimaeus. You can imagine this blind man in our gospel today had been praying for many years for healing. Never got it. Years of blindness and begging on the streets in poverty. And the Lord never healed him until the mediator came in the flesh, until Jesus was there in his physical presence and Bartimaeus could talk to him directly. Then the Lord heard his prayer and healed him of his blindness. You see, everything our Lord does in these gospels teaches us that the way he saves us, the way he redeems us and reconciles us with God the Father is through his human nature. He'll touch somebody to heal them, or he'll speak a word to heal them. It's always tangible and physical. For us as Catholics, we call that sacramental. And since Jesus taught us through his own flesh the nature of a sacramental relationship with God, a mediated relationship with God, that truth is still applied today. The only way you can speak to the Father is through Christ, and the only way you can get to Christ is through his body. That's it. No body of Christ, no Christ, no Father. And you are dead in your sin. And so how has the body of Christ extended for the last 2,000 years in the world? Because if Jesus, who ascended to the right hand of the Father, isn't with us physically now in the world, then we cannot be saved. No grace can be applied to us. So Jesus, he gave us his sacraments. He gave us the seven sacraments of the church to preserve his presence among us. And each one of those sacraments is necessary to maintain the body of Christ in the world. And so consider, if you will, for just a moment, the fact that if there were no ordained priests, if Jesus had not given us the holy priesthood through the apostles, you would only have two sacraments at best. Just two, baptism and matrimony. Those are the only two that you don't have to have a priest there. Every other sacrament requires a priest. You would not have the forgiveness of your sins and confession. You would not have the sacrament of confirmation, anointing of the sick. You would not have the Holy Eucharist. So in order to give you these great gifts and to preserve them, Jesus gave another gift, the sacrament of holy orders, the sacrament of the priesthood. And so these men, chosen from among the people who are set apart to be their representative before God, are empowered by Jesus to keep the life of Christ, the body of Christ, alive in the world. That's our responsibility. And we share in the threefold ministry of Christ in order to do that. We are priests, prophets, and kings. Now, everyone baptized shares in those same ministries. And the nature of the authority that's given to you through baptism is to reign over yourself as a king, as a ruler, to not be ruled by your fleshly desires. That's the way in which you share in the kingship of Christ. Your priesthood, like I said earlier, is to offer the sacrifice of your body for sin, just as Christ did. And the nature of your prophetic ministry is to always preach the truth to yourself. This may sound a little awkward, but think about it for a moment. How often throughout the day are you talking to yourself? I should do that, or shouldn't I do that, or, well, the Lord says, talk to yourself with my words. Speak my truth to yourself. But in separating specific men and giving them the full power of the kingship, the priesthood, and the prophetic ministries, he chooses them to continue the life that he has given to his people throughout the world. So my kingship, my priesthood, and my prophecy are more perfectly conformed to those of Christ. So perfectly that the church says that I, as a man, can stand in the person of Christ. None of you can do that. At least not like I can. I can stand in the person of Christ. Now, I'm not Jesus, right? David Miller is not Jesus Christ. So it's important that you know that. Though I will have to tell you, the cutest stories in the world are always when the little kids come up to me and call me Jesus. I have to admit, absolutely love that. It's just very sweet. Again, they just see me up here and they're like, oh, that's Jesus up there. You know, I usually correct them, but it does make me feel good. But in order to give the gifts of Christ to his people, in order to mediate between the people and the Father, I have to have the power of Jesus. It's the only way. And again, his power is threefold. I have the power to speak the words of God. That's why I proclaim the gospel. Not even a lay person who is certainly baptized and saved is permitted to do that in a liturgy. They're never allowed to proclaim the gospel. Only the ordained can do that, because it symbolizes our ministry of prophecy, of preaching the truth, and speaking the gospel message. I'm tasked with that responsibility. That's supposedly what I'm doing right now. And I have the authority given me by the church to do that over all of you. I am the teacher at St. Dorothy's, officially. And my kingly ministry is obvious in the sense that I have to govern here. I have to be in charge. The final decision is mine when push comes to shove. And the only way I can do that is if I have the authority to govern. That authority, again, given me through my ordination to rule in the name of Jesus Christ here at St. Dorothy's. And lastly, and on some level most importantly, my priestly ministry, which is the ability to offer the actual sacrifice of Jesus. Only I can say the words of consecration and transform bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Only I can offer the exact same gift that Jesus offered at the Last Supper and at the cross. And I don't do this for my own good. I don't govern because it pleases me. I don't teach my truth. It is all done for your sake. That's the whole point of my ministry. The priesthood of the faithful is given for your sake. But the ordained priesthood is always given for the sake of the people. And this need to have a mediator to stand in the person of the body of Christ to God the Father is necessary on every level in the church. For example, I need a priest. I may be a priest to you, but I need a priest for me. So when I need to go to confession, I don't set up a mirror in my closet privately and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Yes, my son, how long has it been since your last confession? Well, Father, you see," you know, that would be lovely. I wish I could be a priest to myself. No, I have to go to a different priest, just like the rest of you, when I need to be forgiven of my sins. In essence, my priest, technically speaking, is the bishop. He's my king, my prophet, my priest. I am your king, your prophet, and your priest under the bishop. Well, who's the king, prophet, and priest of the bishop? The Pope. The Pope is the king, the priest, and the prophet of the whole church, over all the bishops. Well, who rules over the Pope? Is there somebody above him? Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the high priest, the eternal king, and the Word of God. You see, our Lord has set into the very design and structure of his church this ordering of things. There's always another mediator, always. Even in the family. After me, in each of your families, you have only one priest, prophet, and king who's meant to serve over the others. And that's the head of every home, the husband and the father. We see the beauty of this design and why God perpetuates it throughout his church and in our natural lives, because this is the very nature of God. This is God's own divine nature. Notice that in the Holy Trinity, all three persons are equal in dignity and in glory and in Godhead. And yet, the Father rules over the Son and the Spirit. He is the high priest of the Trinity, the eternal King, even over the Son. It is he who speaks the word, which is his Son. So this design that our Lord has set up for us in the world is based on his own nature, which is why we can't go against it, try to circumvent it. Because in that sense, we are actually rejecting God. That doesn't mean that the man that Christ chose to be a priest over you here at St. Dorothy's is a holy or virtuous man. Giving this power and authority doesn't make me a good priest. It just makes me a priest. Whether I'm holy or not depends on my own personal relationship with the Lord. But you don't have to worry about that, because regardless of the state of my soul and whether I'm in sin or not, I still have the power and authority to preach the gospel, to offer the sacraments, and to make decisions for the good of this body. Our Lord can still work through me, despite my sin. However, it's obviously better for you if I'm not a sinner, because I will serve more humbly, more faithfully. I'll be able to intercede personally in a better way. And that's where you come in. How important it is to pray for your priests. For me in particular, because I've been given this responsibility to mediate between you and the Lord. So you should honestly be praying for me every day. Every day. Of course, you need to keep our bishop in your prayers as well, since he governs over me, and of course, as always, every day, the Holy Father. Without your prayers, it is not possible for us, your priests, to be holy. We're just not strong enough. We're sinners like the rest of you. And we'll continue to make mistakes and fail in different ways without your assistance. So when I mess up, it's your fault. That's what I tell Jesus. So. That's not entirely true. But the Lord does say in the scriptures that he gives you the leaders you deserve. It's not one of the happiest passages in the Bible. The Lord says he gives you the leaders you deserve. So if you want better leaders, you need to deserve them. Get down on your knees and to pray. And so we thank God for this great gift of the priesthood. Not only for myself personally, who was chosen to serve in this ministry on your behalf, but also for all of the priests of the church that serve me and the body of Christ. And always remember, what will we be without the priesthood? The sacraments that we would be without. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.